Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
And I'm joined by Philip Chiafari, who is the author of the brand new book, Night and Its Longings. He's written other stuff, too, but he's also the director of the Gotham Writers Workshop there in New York City. And Philip, as I welcome you in, I think every person I've ever talked to in life at one time or another has told me, gosh, I could write a book. And they always say, and it's usually about something that's happened in their life, and they always seem to pick the wrong things. So when somebody comes and wants to be a writer, can anybody learn to be a writer, or is there just something innate with that you have to almost be a prodigy?
No. I think that's a foolish notion. I think, yes, anybody with a desire, with a commitment, can write. And I believe everyone does have at least one book in them, one novel in them. And that is based on their life story. Absolutely, it's something that can be developed and learned. It's not something that you can learn in 6 months or a year. You wouldn't expect to become a tennis pro in a year. So it's really, I think of it as a lifelong commitment. I'm still learning. I've been writing since I was 9 years old, and I'm still learning. That's my feeling.
Well, and as I read your book, Night and Its Longings, I got to thinking just outside the box as far as how someone could sit down and put a book together. Basically, you have a young writer in New York who a man knocks at his door. It's the husband of a woman he had an affair with 10 years ago, and the woman's gone missing and all of that. But that story in and of itself, probably somebody could tell you the story of it in 2 minutes. The way you wrote it in the book, the very short chapters, but you delve way into the mindset and the motivations of everybody involved. And so does that seem to be the big leap between people that think they have a book in them and people that actually do? They can delve further into the characters?
Yes, you're right. It's a combination of the story, the surface story level, and then the inner story of the characters. So there's kind of like two parallel lines of narrative going on at the same time. The inner journey of the character, what we call a character arc. The character changes from beginning of the story to the end. The events of the story change the character in some way. So that's what I mean by the inner journey, and that's what every writer needs to tap into with their characters. And I think that deepens the characters, deepens the story, and makes it something that readers can connect to, because all of us in our lives are struggling for something, things that we want, things that we don't have, things that are in the way, and that struggle is mirrored in that inner life of your characters.
As the writer, do you know that arc going in, or is it something you discover?
No, I don't. Now, if one was writing from one's own life experiences and wanted to stay close to that, then you would know the arc. But what I find is, I don't know. I start with an idea or just a feeling or an impulse. In this case, in Night and His Longings, the original impulse was, what happens in the middle of the night, late at night, when the world is stripped away, when you don't have your hectic routine, when you're just left alone with yourself, when you have the opportunity to see yourself in a clearer light, and what you have, what means something in your life, and what more you want to get. So that was where I started with the impulse, and then I got the idea of Jake and living in Greenwich Village and being a writer. That all came kind of, in steps as I moved along. So to answer your question, no, I never know how the story's going to end. And part of the excitement I find in writing a novel is, finding out how it's going to end. seeing what's going to happen to the character. And that kind of happens on a day-by-day basis as you're writing.
as I read your book, I was thinking about Jake, and there was little blurbs of his writing in there, and he writes in this noir style, and then I even picked that up sometimes in his descriptions in the first person parts of the book where he's talking in the first person. And so is it possible that with writers that they are able to write in a voice that is different than they would talk to you on the street, or can you pick that out in a writer that you can say, oh, that's his voice just because I know how he talks to me?
Yeah, what I advise my students all the time is to listen a lot. When you're out among people, don't always be talking, because if you're talking, you know, your mind is somewhere else. But, you know, if you just listen and you hear the cadences and the phrases that people use, the rhythms of their sentences, and that's something that you internalize as a writer. And when you need to have a character voice, it's something that you can use to draw on. Yeah, I hope that answers your question. But yeah, that's the idea. Is you absorb all these voices all your entire life. Your parents, you know, everyone that you've come in contact with, and some voices are more distinctive than others. But if you're listening and, you know, and feeling into them, they become a part of your you know, arsenal, if you will, as a writer, in terms of, you know, voices that you can use. And I just try to go for the most natural, simple, direct and honest kind of voice that I can, and that's what I used in Night and Its Longings. I just tried to get, you know, a simple, direct. And you're right. I thought that's a good observation. There is a noirish quality to Jake's thinking and the world in which he moves through.
I'm chatting with Philip Ciafari about his brand new book, Night and Its Longings. Philip he's a fiction teacher for Gotham Writers in New York City, and also a professor at William Patterson University. And the term Gotham Writers, it sounds really cool. And I know people here in the Midwest are familiar with the Iowa Writers Workshop. What is Gotham Writers?
Yes, so they do. They've been around for 30 years and based in New York City, but they have online classes, as the Iowa, Iowa does as well. But they have online classes. I've taught online classes. Mostly, I teach in-person classes in Manhattan. But they have every conceivable kind of writing that they've got a class for. And and my association with them has been very engaging. The students I find are excellent. They're fun to be around. They're creative. They're looking to learn how to write, and they're very committed. So it's a very good organization.
It seems like a criticism that I hear from graduates of the Iowa Writers Workshop is a lot of times people come out of there, their goal is to write one novel, and then they never write again. Do you see that trend yet with Gotham Writers?
Yes. In every writing class, you're going to have a spectrum of commitment and talent level. But at one end, I would say I have students who go on for their MFAs in writing, and then some I'm sure don't get any writing done without the urgency of having a class every week. So for those people, I say, well, listen, you know, just make sure you're in a workshop or you're in a class where you can have a place to bring your work every week. It's kind of a motivation. So it really all depends on the individual and your level of commitment. You know, how badly do you want to get your stories down onto paper? And if you really want them badly, you'll do whatever it takes to get there.
All right, his name is Philip Ciafari. His book is Night and Its Longings, and check out other things that he's written. He's he's a professor at William Patterson University and fiction teacher at Gotham Writers. Philip, I loved your book, and I thank you for joining me to talk a little bit about writing.
Yes, thank you very much, Brian. I appreciate you having me on.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcasts. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.